Blog Talk Radio.
Good, wonderful evening. You know what happens after after six? I hit the air. So I'm here, you're there, let's get together. I know you heard all of that, you understood most of it, but give me a call, even if you didn't, because this evening's show is really going to be a blast. It's up to the believer. And if you believe, we can conceive. All right, tonight's show topic is, what's the real problem? And based upon those few little words, there's also some extra. Is it race relations? Is it bad politics? Or is it just greed? Truly, we are the richest country in the world. Bar none. You know, it might be more money or something somewhere else. But where else would you rather live? Where else would you rather be? You know, you can't ask that a lot of the billionaires because they get where they want to be and be where they want to be all the time because they, you know, you have to go to them. But as far as living truly in a wonderful place, not worrying about dumb stuff and crazy stuff like what's beginning to happen all over the world now. And I don't say we're lucky, but we've been truly, truly blessed. And I say that because of the things that I went through coming up and growing up young and then, you know, in a real world, no silver spoon in my mouth. And yes, there's some black folk that was born without silver spoons. Yeah. So, you know, we are truly blessed because of the freedom that we have, the freedom that our forefathers and family members fought for down through the years. Yes, some of the things we took for granted and still taking for granted and whatever else, didn't act upon some of the things that was basically given to us, but we in doubt overlooked those things because it was, seemed too easy. But it wasn't easy. It was from the blood and the sweat of other people. And so, you take it for granted. You take some of your freedoms and things for granted. So, yeah, just talk about them. Just talk about them. Bring them up because they are going to be in the topic of discussion tonight because we take so much for granted. Even the politicians that we let stay in office, even when we know they're not good for us, we have a lot to do with that, not voting. Not teaching our kids to vote properly. We're losing it with a lot of our kids and our grandkids because, one, we fear them. Yes, our own children, our own grandchildren. I've got a couple of friends don't like kids, don't like that word because, you know, in the country, kids is a goat. So, anyhow, in the Bible, too, I believe. But, really, all of that has a lot to do with the position that we all are in because even some of the disenfranchised people, the homeless people, are happier than some of us greedy individuals or us trying to conquer the world type people and stuff like that. And it really makes no sense. Because greed has a lot to do with the position that a lot of us are in, simply because we want it. You know, and suffice it to say, wanting it and not being able to achieve it properly or the right way to where you can pass it along or something like that, it don't work either. You know, and I try to tell people all the time, the fast game, you know, I didn't even try, so, you know, I'm not going. But I find a lot of family members, even when they were, like, good at gambling and whatever else, especially the pool shooting and everything else, I didn't even try to teach my kids how to play. Shoot pool, shoot dice, nothing. They didn't even know it. They didn't even know those games existed with me until they was old enough to understand that and why I was doing it and why I did it and all of that. But by the time most of my kids was grown, most of my own personal kids, you know, I adopted about 7 or 8 now. But in reality, I only have a couple of my own biological children, but I've helped to raise quite a few. And until they were older and wiser, able to understand because of true education on life and what goes on in the real world, because we didn't hide that much from them. That's the reason I'm so proud of most all of them. But, you know, some of them got turned wrong. Some of them went, you know, the wrong way, took the wrong road. But we're proud of those, too, because they didn't let that keep them down. But I find a lot that some parents hid the facts and the truth from their kids so much that the kids didn't even know nothing about Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King, racism, you know, nothing like that. You know, these are black people. The kids didn't know nothing about their grandfathers and grandmothers and stuff going through the true storm, you know. Not just tornadoes and hurricanes. I'm talking about folk. Folk used to be like, yeah, the true storm, riding around with hoods on and stuff and going on and sticking coffins in your front yard and stuff. Man, yeah. And it's a lot of black folk didn't even tell their kids about that kind of stuff, didn't tell their kids about Martin Luther King. My boy was 6 years old before he heard about Muhammad Ali, best fighter ever known. You know, and all of this kind of stuff. So, in reality, I blame a lot of it on us, but I also blame a lot of it on the system, the hidden agenda, the books call it, and there's a great book out that says True Education of a Nigger, and there's another book out slightly different called The Misinformation. I'll get these books together before the end of the show, because I got the guru coming on in a little bit. Hopefully she can come through and help me with the titles of some of these books. You know, I'm a miseducated young man myself. But there was some books, George Washington Carver and quite a few other people put out that I don't think ever see the entrance or exits of the school room or the library too much, you know. Yeah, they are, you know, of course they're in the library. But they so dusty and well hidden, ain't nobody talked about them, ain't nobody told people what to look for. So, the library ain't doing them no good. That's just like a billionaire having money, but it's in the bank and he ain't got no bank card or nothing. You know, what good can it do you? You on a stranded island, And no bank card or nothing. Plus, yeah, they wouldn't take no bank card, no. You know, somewhere else, somewhere it can't do you no good. That's just where the books are. Somewhere where they can't do you no good if you don't know about them. So, it's, you know, the miseducation of a nigga is a hell of a situation. So, undoubtedly, we have to go back and reinvest in some of our teachers and our educational systems and start spreading true history so that you'll learn more about where you actually came from, and that way you'll kind of put a futuristic attitude about yourself on where you're actually going. You know, because the journey is not even over. It's really not started well enough for us to say we fought a battle. Because, you know, yes, I was around when Dr. King was killed, but I wasn't, a vital enough part of that movement to make a dent, because I helped to better educate all of the children that I crossed paths with. I helped to do all that I could to enhance the chance. But again, you know, I was also followed around with two twins. Remember, I told y'all I was triplets. You know, yeah, you know, we all had them other problems. You know, ego. I had two of them, nonce and dance, ignorance and arrogance, you know. Y'all will catch that in a minute. But you know, I'd be busy teaching, but what I was doing was belittling my information a lot by living a different life on the other side, you know, telling kids what not to do, but I was on the other side. That's what I had to do because I didn't have no education, you know. So I had to gamble and, you know, I put myself in a position to where I had to gamble and travel and play shoot pool and shoot dice in order to make enough money to feed myself. And that was hard because, you know, let's get real. Let's get real. I didn't have no real home till 1988, and it was furnitureless, you know, because I was grown, but I hadn't acquired that merch. I had purchased hospital furniture for other folks, helped to buy other pieces of furniture in other houses and stuff, you know. I'd even helped to buy automobiles and stuff down through the years. But I didn't own a thing. I didn't even have credit. So, you know, all of these things that we fail to teach our youngsters, and on some hands, fail to learn ourselves. I didn't know anything about banking and finance. I had gotten an early start at banking and didn't like the system because, you know, the system wasn't set up for us to win in that situation. It gave me a bad attitude about it, and it might have been set up to win, but that's not the way it turned out. It gave a lot of young blacks bad attitudes about banking and finance. That don't never come up. It never comes up in nobody's conversations, and it kind of perturbs me a little. That's the reason it's on tonight. That's because starting Monday, December 7th, my grand opening show, This is a complete commentary for a Monday night show, because after this, some flyers gonna go out, and I'm going to be settling in. I'm learning a little bit more about the system, and just think, if I went back to school when I thought that I was doing the best thing by dropping out at 14 years old, I'd probably be a scientist now. Oh, shit, no. I didn't even like biology. I wasn't cutting up no frogs. See, that's what I'm talking about. You know, you didn't have but a certain a few ways that you could go, you know, in reality. lot of promises and stuff. But see, when I was growing up, promises was just like potential. All y'all that really know what potential is, you know. Yeah, just like a well. You know, ain't worth a damn without a bucket and a rope. Excuse my French. But, you know, get you a well, spend the one there real deep, and don't have a bucket and a rope. Yeah, you're not really at a well. You had a dilemma. You had a problem. And that's exactly what you had if you dropped out of school, because you didn't have that many choices to begin with. That was a policy, a pragmatic situation, because once you got out of school, you had to almost go straight to work for someone else. You didn't have the aspiration or the inspiration to even deliberate about what will I do, you know. Got a scholarship to college and can't pay for it. Got the, but you know, and all kinds of stuff. Just think, I've had great grandnephews and stuff turn down Olympic trial actions for. To go to school, turn them down flat. He could long jump and long run, do long runs and all kinds of stuff in sports. He was great, but he and I said, now see, that's the kind of stuff need to be put out, publicized more and more, rather than young black gets a scholarship to go to play football at USC. What about the young blacks that turn down those same type scholarships for education? They're not even highlighted as often or as much. All of this creates the same type of problem. Double standards, you know. People getting education to go to the TV shows, news shows, but they still can't say what they need to say about publicizing and publishing proper information that give other people inspiration to keep going, to keep moving, to keep up. You know, it's just too many double standards, period. And what we have to do is put a balance in our systems to whereas everything, those that have what they got, let them keep it. But then put the right kind of taxes out. Put the right kind of information out. Let everybody, if you go to school, you're able to get everything that anybody rich or whatever else gets from your school, just like they are. All schools give and get the same type of information and give out the same types of accessories and everything. If that boy over in North Dallas gets a computer, regardless of what school he goes to or she goes to, if they get a computer in their classes, if it's English or whatever, history or whatever, kids in other school capable and able to get the same thing. But see, when you do it so balanced and so equal, you still got those that want to try to over leverage or do something else. That's the greed part. That's the stupid part that we really got to weed out the system, which is because when you catch those type of people, you find out, why did they do it? I don't know. I just thought it would be the right thing to do. Well, if you know right from wrong, you know it's the wrong thing to do. You basically understand that we're trying to balance the system. Why would you go in and want to cheat and do something else that really don't need to be done? Because the child's mind is not going to go or move any faster than the machine or the system, the new system, would take him nohow. So, you know, and then that's when the drugs come in. Well, you know, all drugs ain't bad drugs, but then all drugs ain't good drugs. Yeah. So, you know, all of that, it sets in, but as soon as you start leveraging and balancing a true system, that's as soon as you start getting things to better society. And until we start the equalization of bringing this nation together, we can continually say, yes, we're the best nation in the whole wide world. But look around you, Paris. Look around you, Syria, and all of these other places that, for lack of not ringing true and bringing it all the rest over here, it's happening all over the world, except here. And there's a good reason, because we should be, right now, we should already be balanced out. But no, greed, bad politics, and of course, race relations. And for, I don't know whether it's lack of trust, lack of reality, or whatever, because I know greed has a lot to do with it, but we got to do some, and me and my brother was talking the other evening, and we was talking about Sam Cooke and Otis Redding. A change is going to come. We need to listen more about the change, because a change really needs to come. And our total way we think about things, total way we go on about doing things. And why are we after our own businesses when, if you run all the business properly, you see what I'm saying? You don't have to have more than your neighbor in order to be successful. You don't have to have more than your friend in order to be free and clear of bills and whatever else. Do what you do. Do what you like to do. But you can't do what you would like to do because you're too busy trying to keep up with the Joneses. And that's not about equalization. That's not about trying to get it balanced. That's about greed. You want a new car because your neighbor got a new car. Your wife saw her next-door neighbor who just moved over there with a fur coat on. Well, if that's the case, you might as well stay where you are, because your mentality level is still the same way. What we need is somebody to clean that part out, just clean that part of your mind out, stop that dirty thinking, and start being a little more realistic. Because until we balance ourselves, it's just like anything else. It's just like a drug problem. It's just like an alcohol. I should have mixed them two together. I had both of them. I was a triple threat. But if you just balance it off, you can get it done. Quit looking at your neighbor for spite and look at your neighbor for right. He's doing it right. I wonder what he's doing. I wonder how he's doing. How did you get your kids to go to the swimming pool by themselves? And so, well, I taught the owners when I had to swim first, so that once he became of age and was able to be an instructor, he would be able to teach the rest. So now what I do is I instruct him on what his responsibilities are. You know, y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. What I'm saying is, see, it's keywords. And this is my honest to God truth. When I first saw my son after almost a whole 6-year absence, it was actually a 5-plus-year absence, because I last seen him when he was 1 year old before he was, the next time I saw him, he was six. And when I first saw him and I heard him speak, had a great voice, but his use of words was, you know, like mine. And they wasn't supposed to. Mine is some force of habit. And all bad habits are just like good habits. They stick with you. So I want to change one of his habits right then and there. And one was his terminology and his use of words. So, and yes, he was six, but I had faith in him. I had belief in him, just like I do in you, just like I do in all your friends, just like I do in all your relatives, and just like I believe in all the people here in America. But somebody got to tell them, you got to stop that dirty, stinking thinking. And so I trusted him. And he said, well, Daddy, because I wanted to teach you, see where his reading level was. And his reading level was great. I mean, way beyond my comparison. And I have great expectations for all of mine. I think they were born geniuses. And that's the way I think. So I guess that's my fault. But here and there, so anyhow, and I couldn't comprehend being a low reading person, so I gave him a good book. I gave him a Bible. After he read it a little while, he began to tell me the same thing I told my parents when I first read the Bible. That these words are strange, you know, and all of that same kind of stuff. So I gave him honest to God truth. I gave him a book. Rosa Parks had given me some books when she was here in the National Kindness Week in 1994, 1995, whenever it was. You know, it so well me, I was in National Kindness Week forever after that. So, you know, I just thought it was forever. So, but she had left me some of her books here, and I passed them out at couple of the learning centers, John Henry Brown Learning Center in South Dallas. Oh, you know where I left them. Jeffrey Street Learning Center in South Dallas. Oh, yeah, I didn't go to other parts of the city. So, okay, South Dallas. And so I passed a lot of the books out like that. And I began passing them out to friends and family, one at a time, so that they would, you know, be able, and I kept a few for myself, to pass them out to future great people, in which my son was one. So the second book that I gave him was Rosa Parks' book, Quiet Strength. Tell a lot about her and how she got to be her, you know, and why she was not going to get up off the front of the bus. Oh, and a lot of that. So it was a great book. He understood it. He liked it. Read it the same day I gave it to him. And I said, like to read, eh? That was one of my treasures. So, you know, I said, see just how much you like to read. So I gave him another book called Circling the Globe. Circling the Globe was a humongous type book. I think it had over 1,000 pages, maybe more. It was chock full of words about the world, you know, circling the globe. Yeah, you know, the title sometimes tell you. Yeah, okay. And so it was about other countries and stuff. And suffice it to say, he was learning about other countries and things like that through our little trial and error functions, you know, how good can you read, what's your use of words. And after he got to asking about different words and stuff, I decided to give him another type of test. I gave him words, my type of words that I wanted him to really take to heart and learn about and learn the reason why they were his type of words. I gave him words like character. I gave him words like responsibility. I gave him words like loyalty. independent, and quite a few other words. And his job was, oh, and by the way, after getting him encompassed in, circling the globe and getting tired of, I'm going to use the word tired, because he was constantly asking me questions about the words and different stuff, simply because that was his way out. See, you have to understand the slickness of children, especially when you know that they got it legal. You know, he just didn't jump out asking questions. He was born like that. You know what I'm saying? He had it in his genes because his daddy was a curious young person. So, nah, you got that part with you. So, but he was so curious that it enhanced my chances of getting him to be more word perfect. I gave him his fourth book, which was a dictionary, one in which I had quite a great friendship with myself, because terminology, the use of words, and yo and behold, the use of math will take you all the way to the top in any field or endeavor that you want in this America. So, and those are my thoughts. I haven't taught everybody that yet, but I'm still on the road. I'm still here. The journey continues. So, but I want him to be able to discern the words best to use and not to use. So, I try to readily equip him. And lo and behold, as his teacher, which I had enrolled him in one of the best $5 schools, Martin Luther King Educational Center, over in South Dallas, so that, I could get him on the right path. And lo and behold, teacher had a couple of problems with him a couple of days. And I asked her, one question, what kind of test and stuff you be giving here? I didn't want to play like I went to school to be a teacher. I dropped out of school in eighth grade. So, I'm naive about that kind of stuff. Oh, I forgot to tell her that I went back to school when I was 30 and I could teach school in the state of Texas, but that I developed other interests. But so I asked her, what? I said, because if he's able to give you that kind of trouble, that means he's not doing what he needs to be doing. She said, well, no, he finishes his own work as soon as I give it to him. I said, well, that's the problem. She said, what? I said, oh, y'all don't mix education and religion. And, I was trying to upset her so she would get defensive, because I win those type of conversations. And she said, what you mean? I said, in the school system, they don't develop kids with, educational information on religion and stuff. She said, what, Mr. Parnell, what are you saying? I said, well, our mind is the devil's playground. She still didn't catch on. He's got too much time. You letting him finish homework and give it back to you before you leave his desk. What else is he going to do? Just sit there and look around. That boy's a Parnell. That boy's got curiosity and everything else written all over him. Even before you left his desk, he was asking you, what else can I do? But you didn't have nothing else for him to do. That's what it is. You're not doing your job. But I couldn't tell her like that. How could I get this to her that maybe you need to develop a little tighter curriculum to where if the kid finish early, you have a backup generator. Well, see, she didn't know nothing about that because she didn't drive the kind of cars I used to drive. Now, I didn't drive but a short period of time, remember, because I like chauffeurs. So I get you more on that on a later date. But so after she called on, she said, "Well, Mr. Parnell, do you mind if I give him a reading test?" I said to myself, I had to turn my head because I was smiling. So I wanted this to happen. Yeah. Just what the doctor ordered. And I said, "Then let me put you in a very disappointing situation." So she said, I said, "What?" She said, "Can I give him a reading test to see what level of reading he has?" I said, "Of course." I said, "Just tell me when you do it so I know what to expect." She said, "Well, oh, I'm going to give it to him. I'm going to give it to him tomorrow. I'm going to give it to him so and so." I said, "Yeah, okay." So I went back the next day. Yes, I went up there, you know, every day to pick him up. And she said, "Mr. Parnell, did you know?" And I looked at her and I stepped back and because, you know, I'm letting her think that she was going to shock me because I'm not supposed to know that my son is reading well above the first grade level. His daddy did, and I'm pretty sure his mother did too. But the fact of the matter is he had a curiosity that won't let him stop. So for you to tell me my boy, the nerve of her to ask me, "Did you know your son could read?" Yeah, when he first walked in my house, he had to get a book. Told her which one I started him with. I didn't give her the whole soliloquy of what I did and how it transpired and everything, but I found out whether or not he liked to read mixed words and words that he really didn't understand, didn't mind going to the dictionary for and everything, because I equipped him. And that's what you have to start doing with children nowadays earlier in the game. You can't get them in the first grade, the third grade, and whatever else, and want to teach them about Columbus sailed the ocean blue. That's one thing I had a problem with when I was in school, got me in a whole lot of trouble, because I was above that, and I had already been told the truth, just like Santa Claus. And so I decided to just go ahead and infringe on her happiness by telling her that, I knew my son was educated, but by me just telling you that, it wasn't going to sink in the way it does now. "What level do you think he's at?" She said, at least the sixth grade. I said, "He's in the first grade. You telling me he can read on the sixth grade level?" She said, "Mr. Bonnell, at least." She said, "He has a very good use of words." And so I said, "I have been training him for 3 months." She said, "What?" I said, "Oh, I'll tell you about that later." And shortly thereafter, I lost him again. But just in time for him to learn that Muhammad Ali was a black man that kicked butt, regardless who you was, what you was, man, woman, cat, dog, if you got in the ring with Muhammad Ali, you lost. And once I told him about Muhammad Ali, it was in February, we were going to be doing a black history program for his school. He had his homework done a week before the program, and he was well equipped. So people ask me, "Are you surprised when I tell them that when I tell family members that I keep up with what he's doing and how he's doing?" Well, how? That's my business. You know, I said, you know, so we just ain't gonna talk about it. And but the thing is, how bright he is, or how. I said, "Why should I be surprised that my son is intelligent? What I'm shocked about is all these other folks that's supposed to be intelligent that's not acting like it because of the environment. Is it because what they call it, differences in ages and attitudes of the youngsters that they're playing with. No, that's the environment, ain't it? That's the that's not the cause. Is that the systemic agenda that we live under and live in is the problem. Double standards, too many differences, and people not being able to have the hope that they can go further. But once you give a curious child hope and other relevant information to grow and get better, to have aspirations and inspirations, I guarantee you the conversations will change. Because before my son left the last time at 6 years old, and I said this and raised my hand to God to be able to have a son that bright, we were talking about a return on investment on a regular basis, on a daily basis. Yeah, because he was he was my investment, and I wanted a return on it. You know, if I'm going to feed you every day, you got to do, you got to do. He was learning about responsibilities. He was learning about the things that all young men should be learning about, rather than having to find out that if he goes to school, there's a gang out there and this, this, that, that. I was around gangs too, but I was taught. And see, what people don't realize, some of your supposedly worst enemies end up being some of your best friends. Teachers. I did not dislike teachers when I started at Lincoln High School, although I didn't go but a year and some days, maybe a couple of months, you know, one school year, 8th to the 9th, and I didn't finish the 9th grade, the 8th grade, really. But, you know, they passed me on anyhow because that was the system. Y'all don't hear me, but my voice is loud and clear. That was the system. They passed me on anyhow. I was sick most of that first year. Yeah, I had something they call strep throat. Yeah, I think it was too much medication in my body from taking too many, what do they call them, vaccinations. Yeah. So anyhow, I was sick most of the first year. And so turning around, the next year that I went was the year President Kennedy got killed. And I was standing on the auditorium steps at Lincoln High School, and I walked off that day. Y'all know when that was, don't you? Okay. We just finished up that month. And that's when I walked out of school. Never looked back. Well, I looked a few times. I had to go up there to get my lunch money, or get my brother his lunch money, however you want to say it. So, but at that time, I was a curious child, and I loved teachers. And, by the way, yes, I met a couple of great teachers. I met Mr. Joe Bagby, who had also taught me that being with gangs, being with groups of people, was highly unnecessary, especially when it was your name that kept getting out. When things happened, the only name mentioned was yours. And he would tell me stuff like that. And, suffice it to say, we created a great relationship. So, right shortly after I became an adult, because my parents, both of them had already said, if you drop out of school, you know you're gone. That means you got more responsibilities of doing like grown folk do. So I took that challenge, took it on, told him it was best for me anyhow. And it wasn't working, of course not. I was still doing the same childish, foolish thing most of the time. Then we started having friends go to the penitentiary very early in the game, and I started hearing people like Angels in My World, Chief Stafford. He was a sergeant at that time, but to all the black folk that knew him, he was Chief Stafford. And I'd hear his voice saying, "Boy, being in a group of folk, being with a crowd of folk, don't do nothing but get you in trouble. Being by yourself, you don't have to tell on yourself, and you don't have to do nothing wrong. You can always walk away. You can do this, you can do that." So him, along with Joe Bagby, and Lord, I had angels. And a lot of people don't understand it, a lot of people don't accept it as being what it was. But that was it. I had angels because, yes, I was still doing some of the wrong things that other kids, I was doing some of the wrong things that other young kids wasn't doing more. I was drinking and popping pills and stuff and, you know, doing wrong things. So I really wasn't benefiting my growth with a lot of the things that I was doing, not financially, not mentally, not anything else. I kept a couple of part-time jobs, you know, go on the job and find out they shoot dice on the job. You the busboy, you the dishwasher. And soon as y'all get through and paychecks come in, y'all gambling. Well, right into my lap, because that's what I enjoyed doing. And that's another reason I didn't mind dropping out of school, because I didn't know that you couldn't do that all of your life, and in Texas, it wasn't even legal. I hadn't looked at no facts. I just knew I was good at pool, and I could shoot dice pretty good until you wanted to try to cheat. And then I would have to show you what cheating was called. Cheating was called, that's Uncle Billy's game. Because I was really good at it. You know, I didn't display it too often because I was pretty good at prayer. But if you wanted to cheat, I didn't mind it. So, anyhow, stuff like that. So things were right for me, even though I made a wrong decision. So when I saw that my son was very capable of being able to accept, you know, his situations as they came, because like me, he was holding a lot of it back in. So again, before he left, we had some very interesting conversations. And so this platform alone is to bring about some changes. And so Monday, December 7th, we are going to start asking some real questions. We are going to start asking some true questions. And some of them questions that them black folks don't want to, well, how come you made it so fast? Oh, did you make it so fast because you sold folk out and stuff like, oh, y'all don't hear me. Fact of the matter is, there's a lot of blacks and African Americans that don't want change as much as some of those folk that's supposed to be black folk haters and stuff like that. There's a lot of black folk mixed in there now. So y'all just get real for some information to come out that y'all don't want to talk about. That's another thing. In America alone, we don't talk politics, we don't talk religion, because supposedly they don't matter in our interactions with one another. But every time you want to create a real difference, first things you bring up, religion and politics. Maybe not in that order, but pretty close. So the changes that we have to make And if you listen to some of the facts that we talk about, is that most of our biggest problems come from within. And sometimes we try on purpose because we're doing okay. But I can honestly tell you, in one of the books that I read when I was young, it says, if your neighbor is not doing okay, then you're not doing okay. Oh, the Bible says something like that too, didn't it? Well, see, so how are you going to teach or train somebody how to be a better person when inside you're scared to face the realities and the facts of life, which is you're not being a great person yourself.
Yeah.
So you have to look at it. You have to look at it like it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to let this show be the basis of what you all are going to get in the next couple of days, hopefully. When the guru comes back in and is in full strength, she's been under the weather a couple of days of holidays and stuff like that. You know, she had that slight illness. No, gurus don't get really sick. So, but I give to you all for the next few minutes the guru of $5. The lady that brought me to the top, that re-inspired me to do bigger and better things, the guru of $5. Good, wonderful evening.
Good evening. Good evening, Uncle Billy. I'm sitting up here. I'm checking out the suspect shot in shot 14 dead in California, another mass shooting. And but getting away from that, because you know we gotta keep up with what's going on every minute that we can, you know, because we can be doing one thing and the bomb could be dropping down on us in the next minute. But
right.
Getting back to what you were saying, I totally agree with it, especially with training up a child the way. And which he should go, and from there he will not depart most of the time, not all the time, but I mean, we have to give it our best shot at doing it the right way, because then that the onus is not on us. Once we do our part, what they say, you just go on and shake the dust off and keep moving, because you've done what you could. That's why the good mothers always say, I did the best I can, you know. When 48 hours, when the police come by, they're going to tell them, hey, I did the best I can. A lot of times the police go in there and tell the mama, hey, you need to come down and tell this kid, go on in the mid or whatever, because we already know it. That mama go down there and go in that room, and she ask him, hey, did you do it? Yeah, mama, but he started crying. Mama go on to him, baby, go on, tell him the truth, go on. Live up to what you got to do. You know, that's just the reality of it. You know,
yeah,
she didn't do what she was supposed to do, and that's your mama. You know, it happens. I don't care what people say about some of them, these mothers these days, but I've seen a whole lot of those cases get closed because that mom go down. I ain't even seen one dad yet. As a matter of fact, I'm going to start looking for that to see if anybody, if they call anybody daddy down there. It never happens. But they call that mom down there. Once that mom gets there and talk to that, 9 times out of 10, it's the son. Talk to that son and that son, hey, baby, don't tell him. If you did you do it? Look in his eyes. You start crying. Baby, if you did it, don't tell them people you did it. Go pay for pay your debt. But getting to the fast forward and then just going backward, that's what this program is set up to do, is to decrease those types of situations that we're having. We're in an epidemic state right now. all over the world basically is in turmoil. What we're trying to do as a people, because it's happening all over, we don't have to have a Black Lives Matter here, a real big one, because we had a situation in Arlington, but it turned out that the police chief in Arlington handled his situation with such finesse and such professionalism that it really made put a good report on police relations in the Dallas area, because you know Arlington is right up the street, and so basically we do have it pretty. I can't say good, because Prairie View right up the street with that Sandra Bland situation, and we can't sit up and live in a glass house. We know what's going on everywhere. But at the same time, we need to start teaching our children, number one, do the right thing. Get your IDs. If you got some this or that. See, that's one of the things that's happening right now. And I'm not trying to sound, like I'm one of those persons that, man, I used to be one of the biggest persons who try to get around everything. I rode around with bad, stickers on my cars for years. Then when the police stopped me, I wanted to get mad. But there's certain things that we starting to, you know, as you get older, some of those things, you know, I want to go back and knock that young girl inside her head for being so stupid and bullheaded, trying to get over on things that didn't make sense, trying to save a quarter, but what you're spending it on the things that you don't need to be spending it on. And that's right. What it was. And so what we have to start doing, instead of taking up for some of this negativity, and I'm the last person to go come at this like this, but one thing we have to do, because I mean, I can understand standing up for your rights. We got to. But be in the right when you stand up for your rights. And that's what we talk more than anything. And instead of trying to get over and, I'm going to fight this because you can't do this and that. One of the best things in the world that I learned by being clean, because there's years I was dirty, and I know it. But one thing I found out of being clean and having everything in perspective, and that's one of the perks of getting older, because you're not like that. But when you get up in front of an official or a certain personality, number one, you're sober-minded. Number two, I have to admit it, you've gone through more experiences with persons in different levels of government and in different levels and in situations of life, period. But the thing about it is that you are able to confront a person with knowledge and understanding of what's going on. If you're going to take me to jail, I'm going to go to jail. Somebody going to get me out. But when I get out, that's when my activity going to come. All that running and stuff, it's not worth it. We had a young man that was the son of two of my classmates. I know the mama and the dad. Saw the dad the very day that they had it on the news up there in Dixon. This man ran. Now, I know that officer was wrong to shoot a man while he running like this. Let's call a coward anywhere I come from. Anywhere. That's very cowardly type of situation. Yeah. Because number one, you know what, the Bible in itself, I'm going to go back to what the religion say, thou shalt not kill.
Yeah.
You got two shackles. In the back for something, for a job, you're going to send your soul to hell for how much pay you get.
Right.
People have to start realizing certain things like that, because that's what we are missing out on. People going to church and they going to do this, but they're not getting the essence of being, of what being what really good and evil are really are. And putting,
well, see, that's
what's happening in
the day. But it's getting cut off. But that's the reason we can't face a lot of realities, because we don't want our dirt to come out. But we got to face our dirt in order to get to some of these facts and get some changes made. You know, yeah, you did wrong when you was a child, but your child don't know about it. But then if it takes that for him to understand, then you got to come out with it. You know, let's be real. Let's be real. Keeping it in ain't going to get you nowhere. But letting it out and letting the child know you done been through that means a whole lot.
Well, I always assume that people are real if they're going to come at me, because, number one, if you're not real when you come at me, you're going to be real when you leave from me, because I'm not going to tolerate. I don't tolerate fake and facade. It's not, and anything I'm going to be associated with is not. I cannot associate with fakeness. It's never been a part of my repertoire. Never.
Well, we said mediocrity is not accepted.
That's right.
Mediocrity. If you condone it, that means you accept it.
You with it.
So
you with it.
That's right.
You with it.
Yeah.
You're part of it.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why.
That means you agree to it every time you accept it. So what we have to do.
Reason. Go ahead.
I think they cut us off. But anyhow, let me say this to you. It was a wonderful show. I caught you in too late. I wish I'd have caught you in earlier, but I was on a roll. They just called me. I will make up for it tomorrow, because tomorrow's show is going to be just as interesting with a little more added on, because we're going to have to ask some of these people. I'm going to put some pliers out tonight and tomorrow about tomorrow's show. It might have to be Friday, so I'm kind of...
Like I said, with everything that's going on, I've been up in my little old game, watching me some Gregory on YouTube and put my mind, my activist mentality back on, and it's coming out slowly but surely. But like I was telling you, you know, my medicine still goes back and forth. You see what I'm saying? And I got some better days, some good days and some bad, because I'm still getting acclimated to my meds.
Anybody that's on medication that play like they don't understand somebody else's medication ain't doing what it needs to be doing and whatever else. You have to get used to it and everything else. It's crazy, but you know, and
right.
That's the reason they call it medication, because it does medicate you. You know,
yes, it does.
Good, bad, or indifferent, it does medicate
you're
you.
Right. It's
and,
right. I mean, it could be
most medication has side effects. So,
right.
You know,
it can be the certain thing that you eat that go bad with. You know, that turn it bad because you're not eating the right thing, or you're not eating at the right time and taking your medicine at the you know, the exact time for it to go ahead and adjust your body right. So it could be you doing this off for a minute or two. Really a little more than that, but it goes against the grain of making your body do what it's supposed to do. That's the reality of it.
That's right. And so what we have to do is Monday, the next show we do, setting it up for Monday, is so that we can start Monday's show off with a big bang, is that provide some more information on this same line about what it took us to get here and get this far, and a little history on us. So tomorrow,
you know what,
hopefully
I tell you what I used to say in when we go in those surroundings with certain type of people, when I would go into and I changed my environment to a lower level of understanding people, and I know where I am, and a person coming at me at a facetious manner, I tell them, don't mess with me unless they're ready to get naked. And when you do that, you ready to just put everything down on the floor. You know what I'm saying? So that's just what it is. If you're not coming right, like you're saying, you're not ready to just strip yourself clean and you know, all of that, what you wish you were, you're going to, you know, try to put that out as what you are. That's not going to cut the grease. That's not going to cut it. It's like you said, it's unacceptable.
Yeah.
And time. And
so,
I'm gonna tell you.
I want you to know that I really, really appreciate your calling in tonight, Miss Guru of $5. And
since I got a new name.
What we're about to launch here is more than just a web page, more than just a radio show. It's soon going to be a movement. Because people are going to be wondering, I wonder what they're going to talk about tonight. And that way, hopefully, hand in hand, sooner or later, we'll be able to cross the land with Ask Uncle Billy.
Right. I'm going to still get that website to you with Dick Gregory.
Oh,
and
please.
The word that he used so much, we watched it over there today, because they not only have the radio show, and he made a reference to the type of show that you do. And what it is that he said, and this is true, and I had to think about that, you know, right on time, appropriate timing. He said that the things that he was doing on that particular radio show, which is what you're doing also, is that if you had to get all of your information from Fox News or the other agencies, you're going to come up short. And, you know, they're not talking about the things that's real. And the word that he used over and over and over, this is his word now, because, you know, he always have a theme going at any particular given time that he's moving around. He said that, and I quote, he say the rhythm has changed. That's what he's saying as far as things are not like they used to be. He said the rhythm
has
changed.
He's
really putting that in, you know, just like the dancing, for instance, the rhythm, these kids, their rhythm has changed. And it's the same thing with this political climate, everything that's going on, and how people react to things now. You know, the rhythm has changed to the way that the reactions used to be years ago. I'm going to leave that with you, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.